following message was given by brothers Edwin Wrighton and Timothy Hung in the church in New York City, the Lord's Day, August 25th, 2019. The title of the message is Being Found in Christ, Knowing Christ, and Pursuing Christ. Scripture reading, Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 14.
Turn our hearts to you. Amen. Oh Lord, do open your word today. Amen. We do desire your speaking. Amen. Oh Lord, do lead us on by your word. Our trust is in you. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Dear saints, this morning I took the liberty to review week 4 and 5, and I burden poor brother Timothy to cover the message of this week, because in the last 4 and 5 weeks there are many crucial points, many points how to. But I'm very concerned that you may take this mentally and not spiritually, and then you say, oh, Ed shared on the Lord's Day about how to this and that, and it doesn't work. The thing is, unless we are in Christ, it does not work. So let's make that clear before we start. So let's turn to Philippians 4:12. I know also how to be abased, and I know how to abound. In everything and in all things, I have learned the secret, both to be filled and to hunger, both to abound and to lack. Paul says, I have learned the secret. The secret is not that Christ is in us. The secret is, we are in Christ. So, simply to say that Christ lives in us is too objective. But we need to see, we need to experience living in Christ and doing all things in Him. What a salvation it is to live in Him. If we live in Him, we will enjoy His salvation day by day. This salvation can be compared to riding in a car. I'm always riding in a car because I don't drive anymore. So when you're riding in a car, the thing is to stay inside the car. If you go on a long trip and, oh no, you got to go to the bathroom or whatever, and then maybe you have an accident, it's safe to stay in the car. This is the thing. We stay in Christ. We live Him. Amen. And He lives in us. Then we just enjoy the ride, the sightseeing, and when we're in Christ, we should simply rest and enjoy Christ. This is what we need. So this is the secret. This is the secret. Learn the secret, both to be filled and to hunger, both to abound and to lack. We need to put the secret in practice. In order to practice this secret, we need 3 points. Number one, we need to realize that Christ lives in us. Amen. I don't know, are we sensitive that Christ lives in us? Or is this just a doctrine? Number two, we need to deny the flesh and the natural man. We should count all things related to the natural man as a loss. Our virtues, our intelligence, our capabilities, all the good points, attributes, and virtues of the natural man need to be counted as loss. We should not have any confidence in anything that is of the natural man. We shall not have such a confidence. Number three, we should not do anything in ourselves, but whatever we do in Christ. Why? Because we're not alone. We have someone else living in us. Do we realize this? We need to be sensitive that we have a precious, wonderful person living in us. In this verse, we have the phrase, I have learned the secret. Actually, that's an interpretation of the Greek word. The Greek word actually means literally, I have been initiated. And it was used in the old days of a secret society where the incoming members were taught the rudimentary basic principles. So we need to see some basic principles. So after Paul was converted to Christ, he was initiated into Christ and into the church. He then learned the secret. What secret? Number one, how to take Christ as our life. Number two, how to live Christ. Number three, how to magnify Christ. Number four, how to gain Christ. Number five, how to have the church life. All these things work when we are in Christ. These are the rudimentary principles of the church. The secret of the body is to take Christ as our life, to live Christ, to pursue Christ, to gain Christ, to magnify Christ, and to express Christ. This should be our normal church living. These are the basic principles of a church, the body of Christ. So, as one that had been initiated, Paul learned the secret. Now let's go to Philippians 4:13. I am able to do all things in him who empowers me. We need to realize that Paul's word about Christ as the one who empowers us specifically applies to Christ empowering us to live him and to live him as our human virtues and thereby to magnify him in his unlimited greatness. Some weeks ago, we found out that to magnify Christ means to express him in the virtues that Christ makes in us. The six virtues mentioned in verse 8 of Philippians 4 are what things are true, what things are dignified, what things are righteous, pure, lovely, and well spoken of. These are a description of the divine attributes of love, light, holiness, and righteousness. Christ empowers us to live this way, to experience him as our virtues, because Christ empowers us to practice these things. Excuse me, expressing these highest human virtues. As long as we have Christ, and are in him, we can do all things in him. Christ is the empowering one. Yes, we're weak. Yes, we can do so many things. In Christ, we can do all things. For us to be able to do all things in Christ who empowers us, we need some points also. We need, number one, to let him live in us. Galatians 2:20. Let him be formed in us. Galatians 4:19. Let him make his home in us. In Ephesians 3. Be magnified in us. Here in Philippians. If we fail to do these things, forget about being empowered by the Lord. But if we do these things, the way is prepared for him to empower us. If we realize we can't do these, we can't have these virtues in ourselves, then we will look for him and he will empower us. He will be able to do the things mentioned in Philippians 4 from 8 to 12. Also, to live Christ is to enjoy Christ. The more we love him, the more we enjoy his presence. How we need to love our precious Lord. We must allow Christ to be the Lord in us. Sometimes? No. All the time. How? Absolutely. He is our Lord. Make no mistake about it. Now let's turn to a very precious portion, and that is 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Great. Everything is thanks. This is the will of God, Christ Jesus. Amen. So, the Lord's abiding in us and our abiding in him are altogether a matter of his being the life-giving Spirit. The way to abide in Christ as the empowering one, so that he may be activated within us as the inner operating God, as the law of the Spirit of life. How is that? Is by rejoicing, praying at all time, and giving thanks. When we pray, we are shining. But if we also give thanks, then we are enlivened within. Prayer and thanksgiving are like our two feet. Prayer without thanksgiving is not as good. Or thanksgiving without prayer, likewise. We must not only pray, but also give thanks. We must not only give thanks, but pray. And give thanks in some things? No, in all things. Then let's turn to John 15:7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. We abide in Christ so that he is able to abide in us. If we don't abide in him, he cannot abide in us. And he abides in us by dealing with the constant word in the written Bible and the present word as the Spirit. The constant word is outside of us, and the present word is within us. By the outward written word, we have the explanation, definition, and expression of the mysterious Lord. We are able to know him objectively. And by the inward, living word, we have the experience of the abiding Christ and the presence of the practical Lord subjectively. If we abide in the Lord, constant and written word, his instant and living word will abide in us, so that we may speak in him and he will speak in us.
Amen.
Then let's turn to Philippians 3:3. Ye are the circumcision, the ones who sanctify the Spirit of God, and boast in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in flesh. In order to experience Christ, we need to see that everything that we do must be by the Spirit of God in Christ, not by ourselves. And we would have no confidence in the flesh, our natural being. As long as we have confidence in our natural being, we're through with the experience of Christ. Why? Because if we have the confidence in ourselves, we don't need God. We feel we're sufficient of ourselves. May the Lord deliver us from this. I know that in this age, even from school, you are told to trust in yourself, believe in yourself, and lift up yourself. So we need to learn anew from the Bible. No confidence in the flesh. Only when we're enlightened by God, when we realize how much we need Christ, how much we need to live him, and how hopeless and helpless we are, then we're able to say that we have no trust in our natural ability or intelligence, and that our confidence is wholly in the Lord. Only after we have been enlightened by the Lord. May the Lord enlighten all of us in this way. Now, Brother Timothy will continue with the message for this week.
I appreciate our brother review message 4 and 5 for us. I was taking notes, and to me it's still very fresh, very new. I think we can never graduate from hearing the word in this way, because these are not in our natural concept. The more we hear, the more the Lord have a chance to sink his word into our being.
Amen.
So I'm very thankful that we can have a little review on message 4 and message 5. Of course, today we're supposed to cover, to review last week, we cover concerning being found in Christ, and knowing Christ, and pursuing Christ. All these are under the title, The Experience of Christ. There was the Memorial Day weekend conference, following up many conferences concerning the reality of the body of Christ. And the brothers feel that what we need is actually the experience of Christ. So for all these weeks, we've been going over the experience of Christ. There's a book, The Experience of Christ, also in our reading schedule for the whole church. And this morning, we kind of finishing up all the 6 Memorial Day weekend conference messages. You know, the last message was on chapter 3. Philippians has 4 chapters, but the last message is on chapter 3. So when I was going over, I was wondering, what happened to chapter 4? I don't know whether you have this realization or not. But anyway, our brother helped us because message 4 is on chapter 4. So our brother has the verses on Philippians chapter 4. So I'm very thankful that our brother made a reviewing and to help us to see this matter of being found in Christ. In fact, in chapter 4, Paul already mentioned that he has learned the secret. And the secret is to he can do all things in him, in Christ, who empowers him. So when Paul is in Christ, there's an empowering one in us, dwelling in us, so we can do all things. But, you know, chapter 3, you know, we read the verses in chapter 3. Chapter 3, Paul was inspired, according to the verse in chapter 3, that he wants to be found in him. Found in him. So there's such a phrase, found in him. Of course, Paul was speaking concerning himself. When I was going over, I was kind of impressed because Paul, in fact, at that time, he was in the jail. He was very far in Rome, in the jail. So if we see him, we will see a prisoner is put into a jail. But he does not have that consciousness. Rather, his consciousness was that he wants to be found in Christ. Wow, this statement is very, to me, it's very strong, very strong. That a person, such a person, of course, in the context of Philippians, Paul already mentioned the life he had before he received Christ. He was 100% in Judaism, zealous for the law. And if you, at that time, if you find him, you will find him. He is such a person. He is a law keeper. He is so strong concerning his background, his tradition. He's a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was of the tribe of Israel, and he was zealous for the law, and he was perfect according to the righteousness of the law. And he was so strong concerning that, such a zealous in him that he was to the extent he will persecute those Jews that believe in Christ. So you can see such a person was 100% in the Old Testament in the law. But now, after he received the law, he has a totally different view concerning his past, even his present. His present was a jail, was a prisoner. But now, he aspired to be found in Christ. So I'm just, you know, I think this term in Christ, our brother already mentioned many verses. To us, it's the same. You know, today, if we apply this word to us today, you know, we're all sitting here. Where are you? I would say, I'm in the meeting hall. I'm meeting with the saints, according to the laws, you know, charge, you know, do this, remember me. So I have come. I have kept the Lord's charge. I'm faithfully, Lord's Day, coming to the meeting, sitting here with all the saints, breaking the bread, enjoying the bread and the cup. I'm in the meeting. I'm in the church. But sometimes, you know, I'm in the meeting, but I'm not actually in the meeting because I'm occupied by other things. Even now, you know, we're all sitting here. Maybe every one of us, we may be, you know, occupied by different things. So are we in Christ? Are we being found in Christ? There's a question mark, you know. But as mentioned about in the car, right? Coming in the car. Sometimes I'm driving. Yes, I'm driving. If you found me, I'm just driving. But Paul doesn't say that. Paul said he wants to be found in Christ, in a living person. when I read, didn't we already in Christ? We have 1 Corinthians 1:30. Let's read that verse together. But of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom to us from God, both righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So we're already in Christ. It is of God. God already put us in Christ. You know, last time we had the baptism. I'm very impressed that according to the word, baptism is to put people in the water, right? But the Lord charged the disciples, go and disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That is into the triune God. So a person received the law, not only received the law into him, but also is baptized into the triune God. So it is of God we are in him. So this should be our experience. But concerning the actual reality, I think we all found ourselves very short. You know, very often throughout the day, and after the meeting, we go home, you know, we do something, we talk, and will we be in Christ? Maybe we just kind of like, we are back to our habits, you know, the person I like to meet, the brothers and sisters I like to talk to, and we're just in that kind of a, you know, a routine. So I just feel that may the Lord be merciful to us, to me, you know. I like to, my Christian life will not just be in some of the good things that, you know, Paul used the matter of being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is out of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that is of God and based on faith. By faith means not by sight. That means we need to living a life of faith in our living, in our contacting the saints, in doing many services. You know, many services, we try to be faithful, right? Every one of us, we are participating in the church service, maybe in caring for one another. In all this, we may be doing something and afterwards we feel good. You know, I did my part. But is that the righteousness of God? That may be our self-righteousness. We just feel we did what we should do. See, I did it. That's me. But here, Paul wants to be found in Christ, that he will rather have his own righteousness, but to have the righteousness of God, to have God lived out of him, to have God expressed through him. So I just feel that this word is very very reminding to me personally. That's why I appreciate, when I went back to message 4, I appreciate all the points in message 4 concerning how Paul was able to do all things in him, in Christ, who empowers him. In John, the Lord said something on the other side. Paul was saying that he can do all things in Christ who empowers him. But the Lord said, apart from me, you can do nothing. But so often, we do so many things. We didn't have Christ, but we're still doing it. So we need to be reminded, Lord, I like to do it in you. And to do it in Christ, in message 4, our brother mentioned a few very precious points that today, how can we remain in Christ? Like what the Lord Jesus said, abide in me, then I in you. But for us to abide in Christ, there are some very practical practices in message 4. So our brother was speaking, I was listening very carefully to pick up those practical points. Those practical points are some of, I just mentioned a few of them. That is, we need to love the Lord. Don't make, you know, Lord Jesus, I love you, you know, everybody say it. No. To say, Lord Jesus, I love you, keep us contacting the Lord, keep us enjoying his presence. And there are other points that concerning this matter of abiding in him, remaining in him, that is to have the fellowship with him all the time. You know, the Lord's table is a fellowship. We enjoy the fellowship of the blood of Christ and the body of Christ. And that, in fact, is the beginning of the week. And we should continue to have this kind of living. And another some of the good point, our brother also mentioned that we need to be in the Word. You know, that's why the Holy Word for morning revival, the morning watch verses, will help us to remain in Him. You know, when we have the Word, we have the Lord. Our brother mentioned John 15:7. You know, abide in me and my word abide in you. And so these are very practical points. I'm just so thankful that today among us, we also, the whole summer school of truth was concerning the Bible, was concerning the Word of God. That today we all need to continue daily contact the Lord through His Word. Both the written word, the Bible, and also the living word, that the Lord, He speaks to us, that we should have that. And also, in 1 John, the Lord mentioned, we need to follow the anointing, that we may abide in Him. Within us, the anointing is something, a present current. It's the Lord's moving in us constantly. So we need to pay attention to the Lord's moving in us. There are many other points concerning that, we need to turn on the switch, the law of the spirit of life, to let the light go in, keep going, that we should not kind of turn off. You know, sometimes we, sometimes I turned off. You know, after I did a few things, I remember I'm just doing it by myself, so I need to turn it on. So we all need to learn to switch on by calling on the name of the Lord. And so there are many other practical points in this message 4 concerning how to remain abiding in the Lord. The other points was concerning that we need to live in the reality, taking Him as our dwelling place, allow Him to abide in us. Sometimes, you know, we have other things occupy us, then the Lord is not abiding in us because we are occupied by other things. And also, we need to abide in the Lord by taking the Lord as our dwelling place and let Him be the King so we can be His royal abode. And also, the Lord can be our, we can be His Queen. And be His royal palace, so He may gain the glorious church. So all these practical points, I just feel it's a reminding to me, and it should be a reminding to all of us, amen, that we may be found in Christ. Amen. I think it would be good that we constantly remind one another. So whether we are really in Him, then this matter can be so practical for our church life, for our Christian life. Okay, the second point concerning this message 6 was concerning knowing Christ. Yeah. Knowing Christ. Right. You know, we all, to a certain extent, we all know Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, even last night, the gospel meeting, some of the unbelievers, right, if you ask them, they know Christ. They know Christ in their own concepts, you know, in their own concepts. Paul also, before he got saved, he knows Christ. But the way he's knowing of Christ is entirely veiled, blinded, to the extent he will persecute the Christians until the Lord comes to tell him what he was persecuting was the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus asked him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" That very me was the very Christ. I think that light shined on Paul. suddenly he realized the Christ he knew before was totally blind, speaking, blind, you know, view. Until he saw this living Christ, in fact, is the one revealing himself from the heavens, and also he is the very one in all the Christians. So we see that even this matter of knowing Christ, it has a different degrees or different levels. And Paul, that view of Christ, that was, I think, was a very shock to him. So that's why, even at the later days, the last, you know, when he was before King Agrippa, he was telling the King Agrippa, he was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. That means what he saw when he got saved was still very vivid to him, that he was keeping that view in his being. The Christ, you know, Paul mentioned in Philippians that in verse, you know, 7 and 8, he mentioned firstly was he counted the things were gained to him, he counted as loss on account of Christ. That means he compared whatever in the past he's gained in Judaism now to Christ, they all are lost. There's three on account of in these two verses. The second verse in verse 8 was that he also counted all things to be lost on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. In other words, Paul, in verse 7, he knew Christ. He counted things were gained to him in the past. Whatever he had in the past to him was lost. But now, the next level is he counted all things to be lost on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. What kind of excellency was Paul's knowing Christ? I don't know about you. You know, I think last night there were so many, the ones, especially the one getting, got baptized. And some didn't get baptized, but they also realized, you know, this one is so precious. You know, they want to come back again to hear the saints, you know, fellowship, even in a small group again. But that Christ, compared to Paul's view, still is very low, because Paul used the phrase, the word, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, means it's very personal. And it means that the Christ he knows, even, you know, when Paul was writing Philippians, it was quite a few years already after he got saved. In so many years, what kind of Christ Paul is saying that the excellency of the knowledge of Christ is not just the Christ he saw when he got saved. That was already, you know, tremendous, because that was the Christ, not just the individual Christ, but the corporate Christ. That's why the Lord Jesus, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? That me means not just the individual Christ, but also all the members of the body of Christ. But when we come to Philippians, when Paul said the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, that Christ is not revealed in Philippians, because Philippians is not a book on doctrine. But that Christ was revealed in the following book in Colossians. In Colossians, Paul just unveiled the Christ that he has received through revelation. That in Colossians, he mentioned this Christ is the image of the invisible God. And this Christ is the portions of the saints And this Christ, there are so many items. You know, he is the mystery of God. He is the embodiment of God. He is the mystery of God's economy, because God desires to dispense this Christ into all of us. And this Christ is the firstborn of all creation. Amen. Paul identified the whole creation. The very first one is Christ. And Christ is also the firstborn from the resurrection of the dead. So all this, we will see that the Christ Paul knew is the all-inclusive Christ. Amen. And this Christ is the all-extensive Christ. It's just no limit, immeasurable. That's why, you know, he can use the term that the unsearchable riches of Christ. And even he is the reality of all the shadows. To me, I'm just in awe of what Paul, when he uses this term, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. You know, when Peter got saved, Peter knew Christ, because when he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," the Lord said, "This is not from the flesh and the blood. It is the Father revealed to you." But that was just the beginning of Paul's salvation. But there's still vast field for all of us to pursue this Christ, amen, to gain the full knowledge of this Christ, amen, and to enjoy the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Amen. So I hope you know, we all, I just feel in the church life, there's no limit. We just need to press on. You know? So this matter of being found in Christ and knowing Christ is just so rich for all of us to go on in the church life. Okay, the last point is concerning pursuing Christ. Pursuing Christ. If we know there's such a Christ, we will realize that Paul, even when he was in jail, you know, he cannot do anything. I don't know whether he has a Bible, or, you know, but he was there still pursuing Christ, because he was writing to the Philippine believers, asking them, telling them to pursue Christ. I appreciate in this message, our brother mentioned some of the points, mentioned why Paul was pursuing Christ. You know, if I'm Paul, you know, now I'm in jail. You know, I'm not in any local church. I'm not with any saints. I'm just, you know, in the jail. What should he do? We'll say, "Paul, rest a little bit, you know. You have labored so much. You have, running all these years all over, you know, from Asia, from East, from Jerusalem, you know, Damascus, and also Asia Minor, now Europe. Now you're in Rome. You have done enough." But Paul, his attitude is not like this. His attitude was, "I do not consider myself to have laid hold. Let me read to you. "Not that I have already obtained or am already perfected, but I pursue, if even I may lay hold of that, for which I also have been laid hold of by Christ Jesus." In other words, Paul's realization is Christ has laid hold on Paul. Now Paul needs to lay hold on Christ. And brothers, I do not count myself to have laid hold. But one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I pursue toward the goal for the prize to which God in Christ Jesus has called me upward. So Paul was running the race. So saints, we also need to run the race. Amen. To gain this Christ. Okay, the brother, he kind of listed 10 points concerning why Paul was pursuing Christ. Even at that time when he was writing Philippians, he said Paul had a vision of Christ and his supreme preciousness. That's why he will mention, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." And Paul also realized the unsearchable riches and immeasurable Christ. So that's why he was still running to pursue Christ. And he has experienced an enjoyment of Christ and caused him to pursue. So he still is running for more enjoyment of Christ. You know, I heard someone told me, the longest time he waited for to line up to get the, food was 3 hours. I guess that place is very famous, everybody lined up. Of course, somebody told me, if you don't know where to eat, where the restaurant, you have the longest line, just wait, follow them, you will get good food. But the longest one was 3 hours in order to get good food. Would you wait? I won't. 5 minutes, I won't. 5 minutes, maybe. Let me tell you, Paul has tasted the best food in the whole world. That's why he is still pursuing. Amen. He's still pursuing to experience and join the riches of this Christ. Also, he realized he had not yet laid hope. He has not yet perfected or attained. So he wants to press on. No. The brother share this message also mentioned Brother Lee. He was in his 90s. He was still pursuing Christ, releasing the high peak of the divine revelation. So saints, let us pursue Christ. Amen. Okay, there are other things. Paul knew all things other than Christ is vanity. Is vanity. Let me just finish fast. Because he lived in a divine romance. So saints, if we are living in a divine romance, we would like to be with Christ. We would like to enjoy his presence. We would like him to also enjoy us. Then number 8 is concerning that. He is running the race because he wants to receive the crown of righteousness and to reign with co-king with Christ. Then 9. He is running the race. This race is not we are competing with one another, but rather we all are running the one race. He said this is a super marathon. So we are all running this on this super marathon. We are running to gain this Christ. And the last point is, he also mentioned, if I fail, that means some of us, we all it happened to us. For a while, we running was good. Then we kind of got tired. We stopped. Since we need to rise up. The enemy will be happy if we fail. But there's a verse in Micah mentioned, when I fail, I shall rise again. Amen. Since let's rise up again. Amen. To pursue this Christ. And the last point is Paul mentioned that he was torn between the two while he was writing Philippians. He said, to be with Christ is better. That means to die. He will experience a closer the Lord's presence. But he also mentioned that for your sake, I know, for the joy and your faith, I will remain. So Paul wants to remain because he will be a channel of life supply to the church in Philippi and to so many saints. So all these 10 points, I think it's a reminding to all of us that today we want to run the race. Amen. We want to please the Lord. Amen. And we want to have the best Christian life. Amen. By enjoying him. Okay, I'll stop here and we can have sing a hymn. Let's sing for hymn 481. Then we can go into the different language groups and then we can have the sharing.